be in Psalm 139. Sanctity of Human Life, Sunday. Human life. It's a shame that we have to make that distinction. The world does a pretty good job of sanctifying animal life. Think about it. Protect the whales and any other thing out there. It's almost idolatry at this point in our nation. But unfortunately, we have to address this issue and say things that really just shouldn't have to be said. Within the high desert, the county, the nation, the world, there's children that are abused, punched, slapped, burned with cigarettes and worse. There's babies in the womb that might not be there tomorrow. There's women who are battered and abused. There's elderly men and women languishing away in loneliness. Their lives having been pronounced a waste. They're not necessary anymore. Euthanasia is in our country. Fathers abandoning their families. And now moms, a lot of them, doing it as well. No human life is worthless. Well, I'm just making a statement now. Just no human life is worthless, regardless of skin color, age, disability, economic status. The very fact that I find it necessary to proclaim these things is a reminder of the reality of the fallen state of this world in general, and of mankind in particular. You saw the graphic up there during the Rosa Sharon presentation. It's 43 million abortions last year. That's worldwide. Worldwide. In our nation, it's really kind of bittersweet to say this, but it actually dipped below a million last year, which that's a huge number, but that's the lowest it's been since 1973, when Roe versus Wade became law in our nation. It's kind of a statement to the attitude of our country towards the unborn, in that the statistics for abortion are compiled and maintained by the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC. And in fact, many officials in various capacities have referred to pregnancy as a disease, and that abortion is the cure. That is a quote. I mean, somebody really said that. Okay. The Centers for, if you look on the computer what the CDC reports, there's been about 40-something million abortions since 73. However, that number is not accurate. And the reason it's not accurate is because they get their statistics from the facilities that perform abortions who voluntarily submit their information. They submit it. You might not know this, but California does not report anything. And there are two other states that do not report any abortions. So the California numbers alone skew that statistic. There is another agency, though, that does monitor this. It's the Guttmacher Institute or something like that, and they actually contact facilities all across the country, and they have said that their latest report is as of the end of 2017, that since 1973, which makes it 45 years this year, it's over 60 million abortions have been performed. And to kind of get a grip on that number, there's 40 million people in California. So you take 1.5 Californias, and that's how many abortions have been performed in the United States alone. Truth of the matter is, just as it is proper and appropriate to mention Christmas and Easter on any given Sunday, it is important to highlight on any given Sunday the worth of human life. If there's any doubt about your worth, okay, in the eyes of God, the scripture I had Dan read, you are bought with a price. God himself came to earth, became a person, was born, lived, and died because God placed such worth on you and me and mankind. We are valuable, regardless of what they would call a handicap or whatever you want to label it. Human life is human life, and we are important to God. More so than the animals, more so than the rest of the creation. God prepared this whole world for Adam and Eve and then placed them in it and said, hey, here it is, I give it to you. Subdue it. And of course, we know the story. They fell. They sinned and brought a curse upon humanity, and God has been about breaking that curse ever since through his Son. And so we're going to look at, you know, what God kind of, Psalm 139, okay, and just, you can go there, and you need to go there because I don't have any verses up there because I didn't want to put the whole psalm up there, but, and we're going to look at the first 18 verses, but there's some things to think about in terms of what God thinks about. I guess is the best way to put it. I'm just going to go ahead and read. We're just going to look at the first 18 verses of this psalm. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This extraordinary knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. That's the first six verses. And you know what that is? That is God's preoccupation with us. You ever stop and think about it? God is preoccupied with you. When you read this, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. That's knowing a lot about you, isn't it? I don't think I can think of yesterday. I can try and remember yesterday how many times I sat down and stood up. I have no idea. But you know what? God knows. He's more preoccupied with me than I am. You think about that. He understands our thoughts. He observes our travels when we're moving. He observes us when we're resting. He is aware of, and maybe we ought to take this one seriously, he is aware of all my ways. All of them. Yeah, the good part. Yeah, oh, I'm here in church today, you know, reading his word to people, and that's really good. But he also is aware of when I'm unhappy with the driver in front of me. Or I didn't get treated the right way by the clerk at the store. And the thought that I had about them when they said that to me. We need to be aware, folks, that God is aware. We need to be aware that God's aware. He is aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, another one we ought to think about. You know all about it, Lord. Before we even say it. And I don't know about you, but I've said some stuff. Just being honest. I've said some stuff. And it kind of bothers me that one day, because the Bible tells us every idle word we say, we're going to give an account of. If the idle words, if we're accountable for the idle words, what about the ones we purposely are saying? Wow. Praise God for His grace. That's all I can say. Praise God for His grace. He has encircled me. You know, He's surrounded me. He's placed His hand on me and you. Make it personal when you read these things, you know. It's talking about you. And then the psalmist was David. And he says, this extraordinary knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. I mean, you ever stop and ponder? I don't know how many people are in the world. Is it up to 6 billion now or something like that? I know it was 4 billion years ago, so it's got to be like 5 or 6 at this point. But this is true of every person all at the same time. Now, you start pondering that a little bit. I can't keep track of me, let alone even a body this size, 60 people, 70 people maybe. Forget billion people. Or 6 billion people. And yet, every single person that would read this, this is true about them. What a God we serve. What a great God. And His knowledge, His abilities are beyond us. Just so far beyond us. But it is amazing to me that God is preoccupied with me and you and you and you and you. He cares. He cares about what you do, where you go, when you get up, what you say, everything. It is amazing that He cares about everything that is us. Wow. It's comforting, but it's kind of mind-blowing at the same time. But it's comforting. I'm glad He cares. Glad He loves me. We see God's preoccupation with us. We see God's presence. Verses 7 through 12. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I live at the eastern horizon or settle at the western limits, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. You ever stop to think about, no matter where you are at, God is with you. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, God is in you. And the Bible teaches that he's, you know, the big omnis, you know, all the omnis. And one of them is the omnipresence of God. He's everywhere all at the same time. And you can't get away from him. But wherever you're at, he's there. And I'm not just talking physically. Wherever you're at spiritually, he's there. Wherever you're at financially, he's there. Wherever you're at relationally, he's there. Wherever you're at emotionally, he's there. Wherever you're at intellectually, he's there. He is in the midst of everything. All areas of our life, he's there. And it's because he cares. And sometimes I know things get hard and we feel like he's maybe forgotten us, or, gosh, God, you're just not aware of what I'm going through right now. It sometimes it does seem that way. Sometimes it seems lonely. And that's where you have to grab a hold of truth and just say, Lord, I don't feel your presence at this time, but I know your word is true, and I know you're here right with me, and I place my faith and trust in you. I believe. And I know you're not going to leave me and forsake me. Your word tells me that, and I believe. Sometimes that's all you got is your faith, folks. But it's so great that he cares that much about us, that he's there with us in the midst of it all. God's power. We see God's power toward us. His preoccupation with us, his presence in us, his power towards us. 13 through 15. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. You ever stop to think about how amazing it is that God created life? I mean, man, with all his pride and all his intellect, can't make anything alive. They've tried. They try to prove it. But life only comes from life. It takes a living father, a living mother to come together to produce another living being. Life comes from life. Take plants, have plants. Animals have animals. People have people. Life makes life. And how did it all start? God, who is life, created and gave life. I mean, you think about it. Think about the human body. And God created Adam out of the ground, it says, and science has actually broken down our bodies, and you realize once you get rid of the water, there's about, for a 200-pound man, there's about 10, 15 pounds of chemicals there of like calcium and magnesium and stuff like that. And God takes that, adds water, which he's the living water, poof, makes a man. But in that instant, he had to get everything going or else all that tissue would die, right? I mean, the blood's got to be circulating, the heart's got to be pumping, the lungs got to be breathing air in, and all that stuff's got to be happening. And so God creates Adam, and then the Bible says he breathed life into him. You know, it's interesting, the intimacy that's there. Because the rest of creation, he just said, let there be birds, and let there be this, and then poof, it was there, it was there, it was there. But then his final two acts of creation, man and then woman, he did it with his hands and his breath. He's a personal God. He was personally involved in that. And he's personally involved with every child that is conceived and born in this world. The power. and you think about our bodies and the fact that, you know, you saw that picture of that baby, you know, in that video, it starts off in the womb and, you know, and eventually, you know, it's outside the womb and it's a child, it's a boy, it's a girl. And that started with one cell from a man and one cell from a woman. And those two cells come together and then you get skin, bones, hair, eyes, ears, the tongue, the nose, I mean, fingers. And you look, you know, somebody, I forget who it was, they had a really bright light. My son, I guess it was, he had a really bright light and he could shine it like on his finger. And you could see all the, and I remember my granddaughters were going, oh, look at that light out of there, you know, because you could see like the veins and stuff, you know. But that's, I mean, you stop and ponder that for a minute. How do those cells know to become the liver, become the kidneys? You know, why don't the kidneys pop up in your chest and the heart pop up? You know, what controls all? I mean, this is God, folks. God making it in such a way that we just, when we procreate, it just continues on and on, even as Genesis says. And so, each reproduced after its own kind. And it just goes on and on. That's power, folks. To be able to do that, to create. It's amazing when you stop and consider living tissue. It blows me away that sight, the gift of sight, this is living tissue that's actually picking up light waves and living tissue in your brain that's interpreting those waves. And wow, I can look out and say, wow, Kevin's got a beard again. You know, his hair's getting longer again. You know, whatever, you know. I can look out and see color without actually, you know, I can see that that's a microphone out there without having to touch and know it's there like that. I can just see it. And we take that for granted because most of us, we've seen ever since, you know, some people lose their sight and some people are born without sight. But most of us, we have sight from birth and we have it our life, our whole life. And we take it for granted. We don't even think, oh, yeah, I can see, I can read, I can see a car coming. But that's living tissue that's picking that up. And those cells are dying and reproducing themselves. And we can continue to see our whole life. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And we just, because it's so every day, I think it loses its marvel. We lose our marvel of what God has done in his creation. In 16 and 18, we see God's plan for us. 16 through 18. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. You know, he was able to look ahead before you were ever even thought of by humanity. He already knew you. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, and you know, different versions are different on this one verse here, but 17, but basically they do translate the same. It just depends which words they want to use. But God, how precious your thoughts are toward me. The other way is how difficult your thoughts are for me to comprehend. Either way, when you consider God thinking towards me, it's difficult to comprehend how he thinks. The flip side of that is how precious it is that he does think so much about me. It's the same. He says, if I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Now, I don't know about you. Go out in the parking lot. Look at all the sand out there. And that's just the parking lot. Go to the beach and think about all the land in between here and the beach. There's a lot of sand out there, folks. It says, if I counted them, it outnumbered the grains of sand. And when I wake up, I'm still with you. Ever stop to think that God created everyone with a purpose? Every single person has a purpose. Whether we see it or not really has nothing to do with it. But he created every single person with a purpose. He's not about wasting anything. He creates There's a reason. There's something he's going to do through that person. Whether we see the value in that person has got nothing to do with it. Whether we see the purpose, whether we see the plan, it's really neither here nor there. God has a plan for us. People are important to God. People are valuable to God. Otherwise, why would he think about us so much and go to the lengths he did to give us his word, to give us his love, to give us life, and to give us his son? We are valuable. Get that in your mind, folks. Life is precious. It's valuable. Because the Creator put value upon it. He created us in his image. We are unique. The world would say we are just the high end of the animal kingdom. That's the world. But we are not animals. We are created in the image of God. We are the only creation that was created in the image of God. We are above the animals. So how do we respond to this? To these truths? What is our part? What can we do? We can pray first. Pray. Pray that our kids would never have to hear a sermon against abortion and euthanasia. You know, why do we got to preach on this? Because it is a problem. And what I have seen is when we don't talk about our problems, they only get worse. Pray that our great-grandkids would grow up in an age, or maybe for some of us great-great-grandkids, would grow up in an age where abortion and euthanasia are not just illegal, but are unthinkable. Pray that one day Sanctity of Human Life Sunday would be unnecessary. As unnecessary as Reality of Gravity Day. Let's have Reality of Gravity Day because people just don't realize there's gravity. I mean, that sounds silly, right? I mean, hello, let me prove it to you. There it is. Okay, we got gravity. Oh, that one day life would be that. It would just be taken for granted that life is valuable. You know, just it's just a known thing. We don't question it. We don't try to rationalize our decisions. We just say life's valuable. So we can pray. I hope you pray. And not just on this day, but I pray when something triggers it. And you know, abortion is in the news a lot, and so is euthanasia anymore with all these laws that are being past. And it makes me angry, but at the same time makes me sad because, you know, these are people that are deceived that are buying into lies. You know, Satan is doing a lot of work in the human race. And it's very sad to see people be deceived. And we need to pray. We can pray. We can participate. We can get involved. We can donate our time, our energy, our wisdom. You know, the Rose of Sharon. We just had a board meeting the other night, and what is true is that most centers are not open all week, and neither is ours. Most centers are open 2 days, 3 days a week. And a lot of the reason is staff. Got to have people to cover, train people. And one of our chairman of the board said, you know, what would it take, you know, because we're open Monday through Thursday. And so what would it take to open Friday? Well, more than anything else, people. people. And we can get involved. Now, you know, there's a different season of life for everybody. You know, you got six kids, you probably don't got time, okay? And your calling is at your home, taking care of those kids and doing what you need to do. But then there's other seasons of life when you do have time. And you do have the ability to maybe help. And I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip here. I'm not here to drum up support for the Rose of Sharon, okay? I'm just saying it's kind of like our attitude there at the Rose of Sharon is it's wrong to just say keep the baby, and then once they make that decision, we'll go have a good life. I hope you make it. Okay? We're saying keep the baby, and you know what? We're going to help you keep the baby. You need a car seat, we'll get you a car seat. You need some diapers, we'll get you some diapers. You need some education, we have parenting classes. You know, we'll try to do all we can to support your decision. And we do that. And so I think as Christians, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, you know, we need to stamp out abortion. So let's say we stamp it out. Are you willing to help out and help these young ladies that find themselves in a really, some of them are really in binds, real binds, facing a lot of pressure, sometimes from their parents or their boyfriend or whatever. And it's hard. It's hard for them. And they need to feel love, and they need to feel some support, and understand that there are choices that can be made that are God-edifying, and we can help. And so we can participate. We can get involved. Third, you know, just like the baby bottles, you know, it's a small way that adds up for our center. We can provide. We can provide support materially and monetarily, just like our church does through the budget, like many of you do through your giving. If you decide to take a bottle, that money will go straight. And, you know, and 100% of the money goes into that ministry. Doesn't go anywhere else. It goes right into the Rose of Sharon, and we use it to support those girls. We support materially and monetarily ministries. It's one thing to say I'm pro-life. It's another thing to be pro-life. There's a difference. As we close, I'd like to say that I'm thankful. Thankful for people who volunteer their time and resources to organizations. I mean, we're not the only one. Rose of Sharon's not the only one. But thankful for people that do. Thankful for those who have a heart for the elderly. Thankful for those who have either given their kids up for adoption or have adopted kids into their family. What a great loving thing that is to do. Thankful for those who have perhaps made choices they regret but found forgiveness and restoration in the arms of our Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no sin that He cannot forgive. Every one of us has sins. Every one of those sins sends us to hell. So I'm not standing here in judgment of anyone. I deserve hell just as much as anybody else. Praise God that for that verse that says where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Not here to judge. I'm here to be thankful that God does forgive. And he forgives and restores and then uses people to just do whatever they submit to, he'll use them. Praise God for that. Jesus Christ, the one and only Creator, the giver of life, the one who indeed sacrificed himself for us, thereby making all human life valuable. Because we were bought with a price, and that price was his Son, Jesus Christ. That was the price that was paid for you and me, and every child, and every person on the other end of the spectrum. Life is precious. Just amazing. That those 18 verses there, it's just amazing how God loves people. And he doesn't just say it. He shows it in his actions and his word and all that he does on our behalf. What a great God we have. What a loving God we have. And then we're supposed to be like Jesus and just love others just like he loved us. Care about them. Share about them. Share him with them. I'm going to close with a poem. It's all right if I share the whole thing, Chuck. Chuck and Dana, he brings Dana on the weeks that he has her in the wheelchair. Special young lady. It's a unique burden that parents have when you have a special young lady in your home or a young man. And Chuck's dad sent him this to encourage him. Heaven's Very Special Child is the title of it. A meeting was held quite far from earth. It's time again for another birth. Said the angels to the Lord above, this special child will need much love. Her progress may seem very slow. Accomplishments she may not show. And she'll require extra care from all the folks she meets down there. She may not run or laugh or play. Her thoughts may seem quite far away. In many ways, she won't adapt, and she'll be known as handicapped. So let's be careful where she's sent. We want her life to be content. Please, Lord, find the right parents who will do this special job for you. They will not realize right away the leading role that they're asked to play. But with this child sent from above comes stronger faith and richer love. And soon they'll know the privilege given in caring for this gift from heaven. Their precious, precious charge, so meek and mild, is heaven's very special child. Life's precious. I think I've said it before. We had a group of kids over at First Baptist. It was a lady, a couple of ladies there. They had a ministry, and they would bring these men. They weren't kids. They were adult men and women in, and they would save their money all year. And then they'd have this mission thing, and they'd come, and they'd give. And they're just smiling, happy to give. And we'd sing the song, and they would sing. And I was thinking, in a way, we look at them and we say, wow, they're handicapped, or they're whatever the politically correct term is they use today, whatever, but in a way, I was jealous of them because they worship God out of a pure heart. You know, they don't have all the hang-ups I got. You know, they don't have problems judging people and, you know, thinking things, the things we think and say and do. You know, they just come in there, I got money, give it to God, and sing praises, I love Jesus. You know, it's just a pure, simple heart. And it's no wonder God says, you got to come to me like a child, you know. Just out of innocence, just out of a pure heart. And it's when I see them, you know, when I look at Dana, she's tickled to death to be here. You talk to her, doesn't matter what it's about or what's going on. You seen my truck? You know, just innocence. I wish I could think like that. I wish I could just worship God like that, just out of being pure, just out of a pure heart, a pure mind, no motive, you know, no little sidebar that's going on, you know, just the Lord, just Him and me, you know. Well, I guess one day we'll have that. We'll get the glorified body and the mind of Christ, and we'll be able to worship purely and out of truth and spirit, I guess. But until then, I'm a little jealous of their relationship with God, because I think it's probably better than mine, just to tell you the truth. I'm a little jealous of that. I'm going to have an invitation. I don't even know what it's about. just celebrate life. Celebrate the God that created it. And don't waste the one He gave you. You know? Oh, come on up, Kathy. Start playing something. I don't know. Pardon me.
Can you reread and tell us our part?
Our part? Oh, sure. We can pray, we can participate, and we can provide. You know, it's wherever God's calling you. You know, the whole point of being a Christian is to submit to God and just let Him lead, guide, and direct you in whatever it is. And if God's touched your heart here this morning in some way, you know, allow Him to have His way in it. It's really the only thing you can truly give God. You know, we're going to have an offering in a little bit, and, you know, you're going to hopefully give some money, and we'll all give some money or whatever, and that's fine, and that's scriptural, and it's needed, and all that. But truly, really, the only thing you can really give God is your will. I mean, He owns everything anyway, but He chose to give us free will. That we can choose. And we can know His will, and then we actually have the opportunity to say, I'm going to go along with you or I'm not. We actually have that opportunity to do that. And so in reality, the only thing we can really give Him is our will. Just our submission to Him and His word and His ways and His teachings, His proddings in our life. We can do that. We can choose to do that. And so that's really the invitation today. You know, there may be somebody here, you may have never gone along with God's will for you. And that first will for you in His plan is for you to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the first step. Then after that, there's a bigger will. But until then, that first step is acknowledging what Christ did for you on the cross, acknowledging your need of a Savior, and asking Him to forgive you and save you. And there may be someone here that's never done that. And if you haven't, it'd be a good time to do it. for the rest of us, I don't know, maybe God, and it may not have anything to do with the Rose of Sharon. I guess, what is God doing in your heart? What's that unction he's putting in there to serve in whatever area it is? Whatever way it is, will you act on that? Will you let God move in your life according to the plan that he had for you from way before you were ever born? Will you let him fulfill it? Will you allow him to do so? I have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here would say, Brother Mike, I've never placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've never taken that first step in God's will. I've never done it. Is there anybody like that? If you lift your hand up, I'd like to pray for you. For the rest of us, I'm not even going to ask a question. I think I've already addressed it. Just what's God trying to do in your life? Will you just let him do it? Right now, God has touched your heart with something. This is your time to do business with him in that arena, whatever that might be. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I know hearts have been touched here today. Lord, you came and died for us that we would have life and that we would have relationship with you. Help us, Lord, to grow in that relationship and serve you according to your plan and your will and your way. And we ask this thing, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. This is your time as the piano plays. You deal with whatever it is that God has placed on your heart. You make a decision. And if you need prayer, if you want to talk with me, I'm here. If you want to, whatever, you come forward, I'll pray with you, I'll talk with you, whatever it takes. This is your time. Father, Lord God, we come before you thankful for life, thankful for the life that's in your word, that's in your spirit, that's in your son, Lord. Thank you for the life you've given us in this world. But Lord, thanks to Jesus Christ, we praise you and thank you for the life that we have everlasting. And Lord God, I do pray for our nation. I pray that, Lord God, as the government goes forward and we see the massive fight in this realm of abortion and euthanasia, Lord, I pray for your hand to touch, Lord, that we would swing towards life and that life would once again have its rightful place in our nation, Lord, that it's not something to be thrown away or to be judged based on what it can contribute, Lord. But Lord, let it be judged and based upon what it is, that it is us created in your image, and that there is value in all human life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.